Revelation chapter 4. Good to be in the house of God. Appreciate both the churches being here tonight with the choir singing. And I want to thank you all for that standing ovation you gave for me as the other choir was coming down. I sure appreciate that. Amen. As we look tonight in Revelation chapter 4, I'm glad that you're here tonight. And if you didn't listen to this morning's service online, I want to let you know something. The rapture didn't happen yesterday. The world didn't end. Planet X didn't show up. The Death Star might. The government's hot on our trail for that thing, and y'all better be careful for that.
What?
Yeah, that day y'all thought y'all saw an eclipse. That was them maneuvering the Death Star around this planet to find them a target.
That's no moon.
Listen, that's no moon. That's a space station, man. Listen. Donald Trump's got big things planned for those that try to jump over that wall, man. He's got big things planned for you. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. The rapture hadn't occurred yet. The end of the world's not happened, but the rapture is on the way. As we in the church age right now in Revelation chapter 3, that last church mentioned, of course, is Laodicea. It's the present era. And they've turned away from God, and he calls them to repent. And no wonder they're trying to take repentance out of the gospel message right now. That's a Laodicean thing. How about that? And of course, we get down to chapter 4. And it says, after this, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And listen to this thing here. He said, the voice, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. As we look in the Word of God tonight, I want to preach to you on something I believe will be a help to you tonight. It's called Evidence for the Pre-Tribulation Rapture. Evidence for the Pre-Tribulation Rapture. There are three positions that people take with this rapture. Two of them are absolutely unscriptural and wrong. The first one is pre-tribulation, what the Bible teaches, where Jesus Christ will rapture his saints out before the tribulation begins, because that will be a time in which God will turn again to the Jew.
Amen.
Now, here's the strange thing. You and I are living in an age right now in which they're partially blind to the gospel, but as soon as we're taken out of the way, God turns directly back to them. And just so the Russellites know, the 144,000 preachers that get saved over there, not one of them is a Jehovah's Witness.
That's right.
They're all male Jewish virgins. Go read the chapter. That's kind of funny to be a Jehovah's Witness and think you're one of them, ain't it? Especially after that bacon they had for breakfast this morning, too. I mean, that's something. Even the liberal Jews don't eat pork. True story. And there's also this position called mid-tribulation, where the church goes through 3.5 years of the tribulation. And this is marked out and preached by, I don't know, crazy people out of Arizona and places like that, where they're trying to build a following because they're an attention whore. Amen. Why else would you get on TV and say you want all the fags killed? Why would you do that?
What?
Listen to me. Why would somebody say something like that? They loco in the cabeza, senor. That's what's wrong with them. But see, when they teach that stuff, they forget one part. I've heard them say this. Well, you Christians ain't tough enough, and y'all have to go through some persecution in the tribulation at least 3.5 years. Here's the problem. Why ain't you going through it now? Why ain't you being persecuted now? And I'm not talking about some little gray-headed lady come to you at the deacon's meeting and say, I need to talk to you, preacher. I ain't talking about persecution, that serious persecution like that. I'm talking about like Iraqi persecution where they put 16 to death the other week. Afghanistan, 2 weeks before that, put 14 Christians to death just for having a copy of the Bible you got in your hand. That's persecution. Somebody saying, I don't agree with you, is not persecution. Okay? And that crowd that teaches that will most likely drift over to the position of the third thing, which is post-tribulation rapture. Yeah. Post-tribulation rapture means this. Now watch this. The church has to go through all the tribulation. Then at the end of it, we go up, then we come right back. Up, down. It's like that. That's not a rapture. How are you going to fit the judgment seat of Christ in here? You know, that moment of twinkling of an eye, you're going up, you're coming back, right? Well, see, those positions aren't scriptural. But every one of them work like this. If you always look at stuff like this the way I do and say, where's the money at? because this don't make any sense, and where it don't make sense, there's a dollar hidden somewhere in it. It goes like this. You ever heard of the Purpose-Driven Church?
Yes.
Big seller, right?
Yes.
Guy wrote the book, 5-Point Calvinist, Rick Warren. All the guys that follow him are undercover Calvinists until it got cool about 2 years ago.
That's right.
And wait a minute. How'd it go again? They started off by changing our services and our music. Then they took off all our clothes. Then they changed out our Bibles. Then they changed our position on salvation. And then all of a sudden they changed our position on the rapture, which they never believed with to start with.
Yeah.
There's your 5 points to consider.
That's
the digression they all take.
Yeah, right.
Now, as I look at this thing tonight, anybody who takes the mid and post thing, they try to take place of the Jew. And if you read Jeremiah chapter 30, that God's not done with them. I can't say that enough for you. But as we look at evidence for the pre-tribulation rapture tonight, there's some items of evidence in these two verses right here that lines up scripturally with the rest of the Bible and will bring this thing closer together, listen, than the hair part on your head, some of you. I mean, bring that sling right in there. Are you ready? Listen, they told me that you got to have evidence for a conviction.
Amen.
So what does that mean? That means I'm convicted what I'm going to tell you is right because I've already looked at evidence.
Right.
You need to see the evidence. You need to mark this down in your Bible so next time somebody comes up with this stuff, you'll know that they've been led astray by a deceiver and an antichrist.
Yeah.
That's what 1 John called him, wasn't it? A deceiver and an antichrist. Jesus said somebody comes up some other way is a thief and a robber.
Right.
Here's the evidence. Here's the first item of evidence. Look at verse 1. This is going to trip you up because it's like hiding a pin in a, what do you call it, a needle in a haystack. You may not think there's nothing there until you sit down and then you actually find the thing, right? He said, after this I looked and behold a door was open in heaven and the first voice which I heard, watch these words, was as, circle as right there, as it were of a trumpet. That little word as right there is a simile in the English language. It means it's similar to the thing without being the thing. The as in question here is a voice, and the voice, the way it sounded out, was like a trumpet. And when that voice sounded out, if you were standing away from it, you might have thought it was a trumpet only. But the closer you get to it, you begin to notice that's not just a trumpet, it's a voice as a trumpet. When you're right there with it, it's a voice. The way that works out is you got the Apostle Paul writing 1 Thessalonians 4. Then later he writes 1 Corinthians 15. He mentions the trump of the Lord and so forth like that, and the voice of an archangel. Because he's back here writing about something up here. John's up here writing about it. And he goes, oh, it's a voice as it were of a trumpet. There's your as right there.
Yeah.
The first piece of evidence is that little word as. That's the trump of the Lord. That is it right there. His voice, as it were, of a trumpet. And let's look at these other places. Hold your place here at Revelation 4. 1 Corinthians 15 will be the first one. Two greatest passages on the rapture of the church are found in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. And when you put Revelation 4:1 with them, it brings the whole thing out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look down at verse 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. That lets me know something's got to change before we get there, right?
Amen.
He said, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The last trump. Whenever they try to make that trumpet and the trumpet over there in Revelation, the one from the Old Testament, they're trying to replace the Jew. Quit listening to them.
Right.
Those things don't go together. You got to rightly divide the word of truth.
Yeah.
Because this trump Paul's writing about, he's hearing it, but he's not hearing the details. You got that so far?
Yes, amen.
John's going to be standing right beside it and say, oh, that's what it is. It's a voice, as it were, of a trumpet. But he says here, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
Yeah.
So what happens? When that thing sounds, we're changed. Paul was given that thing clearly, okay? By inspiration of God, he knows something that sounds like a trumpet's going to happen. Our vile bodies are going to be changed. The corruptible's going to put on incorruption. All when the sound of a trumpet comes up.
Praise God.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
Do-do-do! One like that? No, it ain't one like that. I'm going to show you why. Look over at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look down at verse number 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. These items look like this. He says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." So it's not an angel just coming, just say, "Hey, we're going to send a couple angels to get you." God said, "It's important enough, I'm coming." The Lord himself. He says he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there's that trump. There's that voice. There's that the Lord himself there. And he says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." If you look up them words "called up" together, that's that word rapture. That's where we get rapture from in the Bible. And for somebody to come along and be so snooty and say, "Now you know that the word rapture is not in the Bible." Honey, the word Bible ain't in the Bible either. So, you know, what are you going to do with that? See, it's okay to go to the Greek when they do it, but when I do it here with the "called up," it ain't cool, right? Again, if I play Michael Jordan in basketball and I set the rules, I'll beat him.
Yeah.
It'd be an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
If we both playing by the same rules, he might beat me. It'd be close.
Yeah.
Don't let this short bald frame fool you. I might can put the rock up, you don't know. Thank you, baby. One person has confidence in her pastor. I like that. It says he's going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. I don't know what the weather's going to be like that day, but there'll be clouds somewhere, and he'll part them.
Yes, sir.
And he says this, "To meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now notice he didn't mention no trumpet there, no archangel. He said, now I'm getting up there, I'm getting closer, it's the Lord. It's the Lord I'm looking at. And he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Have you heard of the fact that you can take a concordance and look up certain words, and they'll appear certain many times, and that'll really bring out something for you? Try this one on. "Wherefore comfort one another," these words, that word "comfort" occurs 66 times. There just happens to be 66 books in your Bible. He said, "Comfort another with these words."
Amen.
These words.
Amen.
That's why poetry don't work at funerals near as good as the Bible does.
Yeah.
That's why when you lose your best friend, your real best friend tells you it's okay, it'll work out.
Amen.
So how you know that? Because he said so in this book right here.
Right. I love it.
Now, we see that he brings all this together. And if you go back to Revelation 4 over here, you've got the fact that he says, "After this I looked and behold a door was open in heaven." Why did John get a closer revelation of this? Paul was preaching under the inspiration of God, and it was written down under the inspiration of God. John was written down under the inspiration of God, but he was told something a little different than Paul. You know what it was? "Come here, let me show you some things that's going to be written hereafter. Write these things which will be hereafter." He brings the whole picture into focus. Do y'all remember those Polaroid cameras? When you go, and you go, and everybody stand around for like 3 or 4 minutes going. And finally, a little dark image begins to appear. And before long, you say, "Hey, wait a minute, there I am." And there's you. You know, that's what you do your family. And finally, that thing had come into focus, and it would tell two things when it got done. Number one was who was in the picture. And number two, the guy taking the picture, did they have it in focus when they took the shot? Or the dude like this? You know, people do that when they take pictures sometimes. That's why some pictures you see are blurred. Because when they press the button, they got to do this with it, like they're grabbing it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. So when that picture gets clear, we know all the details. We know who was there. We see all that. And now we can write with an ink pen on the bottom of that thing, in cursive writing. Some of you children have never heard of this, have you? May 2nd, 1982, you know. And we put it in a little book, and then we put that little plastic thing over. Y'all never seen one of those before in your life, have you, kids? Bless your heart. And then years later, you go to take that thing off and put another one, and it takes the ink right off the thing. And you know, there it's gone forever. See, Sharpie pens wasn't invented back in the black and white era we lived in, so we only had ballpoint pen. That was it. So now we don't know what date the picture was. We don't know what it is, but we still got the picture. Okay? Now you imagine a guy like John writing under the inspiration of God. John's alone on an island now.
Yeah.
You ever hear these people say, well, there's just no fellowship where I'm at. What about this camp meeting? A camp meeting of one right here.
Yeah, amen.
So what happened there? The Lord, just the Lord showed up with him. That's all.
Yeah,
that's enough.
That's what God wanted to do. Listen, he wanted to take this man and show him some things. And the first part of it, of course, he says that voice is going to be that trumpet. And here's the song it's going to play. That voice is going to say this, come up hither. Here's the importance of that. You know that that's a voice over a trumpet. You may not respond well to a trumpet. If you was in the military, you learned early on that certain sounds mean certain things.
Yeah.
One's called reveille. What's that mean?
It means get up.
Up. And if you ain't up 2 seconds later, here he comes with the trash can. Bam, 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 bam. Get up, maggots. Bam, bam, bam. You know. Now you're scared awake. And if you don't get up at second three, he's at your bunk getting you out of bed. By the flippage. So that's mean. It is. That's just terribly mean, ain't it? It's going to save you out there in combat, though, so it ain't too mean. Getting you alert real quick. And I see that when they take that thing and they get the whole thing together there with that trumpet and you hear that thing, certain calls meant go eat at the mess hall. Isn't that interesting? They blow a certain thing, you know, hey, it's time to quit doing this. We can go eat now.
Yeah.
But your favorite one was at the end of the day.
Right.
Dun, 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 dun. And that meant, hey, we can go to sleep now. Even Sarge ain't going to bother us now. Supposedly. Depends on how much you bothered him during the day. He may bother you all night. But this thing here, he says, come up hither. This is a direct cross reference with Jesus Christ himself saying, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When that voice is that way and says, come up hither, you know what you're going to do? Up hither you go. Ain't that good? It's not that archangels ain't cool and all that, and trumpets ain't cool, but here's the Lord coming up saying, come up hither. It's so important, he's coming. So why is it important for him to come like that? Because when he gets you back up there, he's going to say, look, Father, we lost none. Even the dead in Christ rose with us.
Yes.
Amen, amen, amen.
Good deal.
Now watch this. The second piece of evidence as we look in our case here tonight, verse 2. It says in verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Do you catch that word immediately right there? Do you know how fast that is? That's faster than you blink. When he said in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, he's referring to somebody blinking.
Yeah.
And that thing happens awful quick. And I used to know it was 1/32nd, thousandths of a second or something. I said, real fast. So I started saying real fast because I can't remember the numbers. But I do know this. When that thing happens like that, it's so quick, here's the good part, that the only word to describe it is immediately. He didn't say, and soon thereafter I was in the Lord. No. And the next dispensation I was... No, he said immediately. Right then. Right then. Listen, this thing's faster than Star Trek can beam you up, Scotty. You do know they stole that from the Bible, don't you? What other book in the world talks about leaving one place and getting to another being took out of there real fast? They got it from somewhere, didn't they? Look at this. He said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. As we look at that thing, don't you look back in 1 Thessalonians 1 for something here. 1 Thessalonians, hold your place here. We'll come back here. I don't intentionally mean to bore you tonight, but the Lord has laid this on my heart and all that stuff, right? Thank you, JJ. The Bible tells us that he goes, the second piece of evidence is that throne, and we're going to be there immediately.
Yeah.
And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you look down at verse 10, here's what he tells us to do. You ready for this? And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What does God put out there for the throne of the Lord for us to think about? He's wanting you to wait for his Son, not the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now that's a key thing right there, because everybody else is looking for the man of sin. I'm not looking for him. I don't care who he is.
I don't either.
Somebody asked me, said, who you think's got the best possibility to be the Antichrist? I said, well, I really have no idea and don't care either. They asked the other day a question on this little form I was talking about. They said, do you think the Antichrist has been born yet? Don't care. Give a little tiny secret here. We won't know anyway.
Right.
Amen. And just like Judas Iscariot, it's going to be somebody the devil's going to possess, so it could be anybody alive and remaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a couple of stipulations. One, they can't be Ronald Reagan, even though his name has six letters in all three names.
Yeah.
You remember that one? Ronald Wilson Reagan. That's a sign. There's 666. Poor old President Reagan died, people thinking he was Antichrist, and I guess they lost all hope and faith in Antichrist when he died, right? And then we elected Bill Clinton, and all our faith in Antichrist was renewed, just like that. Don't y'all laugh, don't y'all applaud, you know you voted for him, and if you didn't, tell me who got that man in office two straight times like that. I'll tell you who, the same of you that voted for the other Democrat, Obama. So that wasn't me. Well, your dead great-grandma and your dead grandma both did. How'd that happen? Yeah, you listen. They need to go to these voter things and go to the local funeral home and get a list of names and try to match them up and see who's voting after they like that. I mean, for instance, 8 people over the age of 120 voted in North Carolina last election.
Yeah.
What?
Nobody's been older than 110 on this planet in about, I think, 50 years, it said. But yet these people are voting. How are they doing that?
They're getting those.
Hey, I think I know. So what would that have to do anything? Money, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
He who sits in the White House runs the money.
Yeah.
That's control and power. They want it. Right?
That's right.
Now, here's the only problem they got. This second piece of evidence we're looking at, that throne, he's got it.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is they can't do anything unless he signs off on it, whether they know he's signing off on it or not.
Yeah.
But watch, to wait for his son from heaven, where's he coming from, that throne? Acts chapter 7, something strange happens over there. They start to stone a deacon to death.
Yeah.
And that's opposite, because usually the deacons want to stone the pastor to death. But they take, and there's Stephen out there preaching, and the Bible says the Lord stands up over there.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say, well, that he welcomes all his saints in like that. That makes for good preaching, and that's real nice and all, but here's what really happens. He's getting ready to come in Acts chapter 7 and come back to right then.
Yeah.
And the Jew rejects him for the last time. Now he's turned to the Gentile. 2 chapters later, Saul of Tarsus gets saved. He becomes the 12th and final apostle.
Yes, amen.
And when he becomes the final apostle, he turns his ministry about halfway through the thing over there and says, you know what, God's called me to that Gentile. Then he meets up with Peter and they talk about it. And Peter says he's the apostle of the Gentile and so forth like that. And they get that thing narrowed down. They show what God's doing for the Gentile over in their first little preacher's conference they had over there. And all of this went by with the throne of God signing off on it. When Jesus stood up on the right hand of God, you know what he's standing beside of? The throne of God.
Yes, sir.
See, and if you look on chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 9, chapter 5, verse 9, here's the good part. This is the good part. For the world, as soon as the rapture occurs, they're going to see 3.5 years of smooth sailing. There'll be no people out there street preaching. There'll be no gospel tracts. There'll be no Bibles in these churches. They'll finally get rid of that book they've hated so much. However, anybody who's saved during that time, guess what happens to them? They don't see 3.5 years of peace. They see a guillotine.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's the thing that cuts thy head off.
Yeah.
Say, I don't believe they'll do that. Wait and see.
Yeah.
We'll be in heaven and won't be. Listen, we won't get all the details there because, we'll be up there at the judgment seat of Christ and our own bacon will be frying up there on some things like that. And we'll say, Lord, I wished I'd have done this for you and I wished I'd have done that. And whatever little crown we get, we're going to have to give it to him because you know we didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
But in chapter 5, verse 9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that let you and I know? A very, very simple truth. That when you got saved, God is never going to turn his back on you and let you drift into 3.5 years of you getting your head cut off because you're in Christ.
Amen.
Now think about that. That doesn't mean you won't go into persecution before then, but you won't go under the wrath of God that's coming afterwards. That wrath of God there, if you try to equate that with hell, that's only part of it. Because what God's going to do is going to pour out His wrath on this planet, one vial and one trumpet at a time. The bowls will be emptied and all that other stuff. And listen, this bunch that thinks they're going to run things and the United Nations, we all going to come together, it's going to be a repeat of the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
God's going to divide them up like a pizza, send them all their way.
Yeah.
They're going to try to come together one last time, but then He's going to show up and take care of the whole outfit. And He's going to have a cheering section made up of those that died in Christ and those that was raptured at the end of the church age, all because of one reason. We're with the crowd with the throne, not with the crowd with the wannabes.
Yeah.
Think about it. He didn't say, look thou for the Antichrist, and 3.5 years later thou shalt be raptured out. You talking about date setters? I believe that mid-tribulation crowd would be the date setters, wouldn't they? Because if you knew, when some dude showed up wanting to give everybody a tattoo of 666 on their hand and their forehead, if you knew the day he showed up doing that, 3.5 years later you're out here, that would be God letting everybody know what date the rapture was coming. He said, nobody will know. Here's second part. If you're post-tribulation rapture and you saw that thing happening and then you saw that thing happen in Israel 3.5 years into it, you say, well, man, we know right here we got 7 exact years to get right with God. Here's your prophecy students. Listen to this. Why are you studying? Well, I'm a studying Revelations so I'll know what'll happen. So if I see it happening, I can get saved. I mean, so I know what the Lord's doing. Listen, if you're studying Bible prophecy to see what happens so you know when to get right, you need to get saved right now. Because there's obviously God's dealing with you about that thing, about getting saved. Obviously, you hadn't got a clear picture of what God wants out of you for salvation. He's not wanting you to burn the candle at both ends and blow it out the end in His face. He's wanting you now. And I see a clear picture there. We're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That word by tells me that He's going to come in there and get us in context with chapter 4.
Yeah.
That's the vehicle out of here. We're going by Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. And boy, that applies to more than just being the way to heaven. He's also the way out of here when the trouble comes too for the saved. You know, a road has an ending and a beginning, right? Well, when He says, I am the way, the road starts at salvation and ends up at that throne. See, we've got the trumpet of the Lord showing up. We've got the very throne of God there. Back up in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. He said immediately, verse 2, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And this is our last piece of evidence here. Watch it. And one sat. On the throne. This is going to upset a lot of people, but when we get to heaven, God will have no committees to tell Him how to do anything.
That's right.
Yeah.
He needs even less of them down here, probably.
Yeah.
So why is that? Because God gave us this book to tell us how to do everything. So what happens then if we don't believe it? Well, you get committees together and vote out God.
Yeah.
See, I don't believe that's true. Really? Explain to me $700 hammers that the government buys. Who come up with that idea? Somebody said one time, said, no, you don't understand what kind of hammers them are. Them are precise mechanical instruments that they do this, and $700 for a hammer? No. The report I read, the one I saw, the invoice I saw being filled, was not for little precise little mechanical instruments that do this, and this. It was for hammers like you build a house with. Metal on one side, wood on the other, and hope your thumb don't get caught in between them hammers.
Yeah.
So who signed off on that? Somebody who was under the advisement of a committee.
Yeah.
One sat on the throne. Just one. Say, this piece of evidence, what is it? The triumph of the Lord. Why you and I sweated last election, you know what God did? Pick the candidate.
That's right.
Now think about this. You go study your Bible, you're going to find out anytime a nation falls into sin, God intervenes and makes the ruler wicked to judge the nation. So what have you had in your ministry, preacher? Well, let's see. We've had about 16 to 20 years of judgment, now we're here now.
Yeah.
So why was that? I don't know. Let's just back up to the 50s and look. That's a decade before you guys born. Some of you born two or three decades before that, but you'll get a lot out of this. You know what we did in the 50s over here? Absolutely nothing.
Rock and roll?
Nothing. We didn't do anything. Listen, the worst it got was when Elvis would come to town, the Klan would say he's playing black music and go after Elvis. He was the Marilyn Manson of his day, you know. True story. The videos are still out there. Then in the 60s, we sat back as a church and said, we got to let them hippies in and reach them. Just let them come in and take out the pews and let them sit on the floor and cross-leg like they do and all that stuff. And we never said anything about what they were doing. Then the 70s come along, and somehow or another in the 70s, we forgot that God's still in the marriage.
That's right. Uh-oh.
And we started letting shacking up be public out there, and everybody was okay with that. We went along with that. Then the 80s come in, and drugs completely had taken over by then.
Yeah.
And we sat back and said, well, you know, everybody's got to have their medicine. Isn't it funny how the Bible word for sorcery is a Greek word named pharmakia, and we get the word pharmacy from that, and that thing's about taking over our churches?
Yes.
So what do? They get high, man.
Yeah.
Man, I need my medicine. You need medicine, but you don't need to stay doped up all the time.
Amen.
But he said we couldn't take our medicine. I didn't say you couldn't take medicine. I'm just saying if your doctor's your dope dealer, you need to change doctors.
That's right. Yeah.
Let me give you some helpful advice here. Listen to me. If you have three or four doctors and you go to different ones and don't tell the other one what you're going there for and get prescriptions like that, and you go to two or three drugstores so the drugstores won't know, you're the dope dealer now.
Yeah.
You're the dope addict. You're the crackhead now.
Amen.
You're getting high.
That's right.
Right?
Wow.
I feel conviction from the front to the back.
Come on.
Listen. Don't ever talk about them crackheads and them meth heads when you're doing the exact same thing they are.
That's right. Yeah.
So what's that? Getting high.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Amen.
Now watch this. In the 80s we said nothing, and the 90s come along, and then we had that wicked bunch. You know where they were called? I believe it was Generation X. Y'all remember that thing?
Come on.
I done forgot which one I was, but I'm sure there's an X brand on what I did because I was lost. Then somewhere about the mid-90s I got saved, got in church. And then the next decade comes along, and they didn't do nothing then either. You know what they did? They said, the NIV is just another Bible. It's just like the one we read.
Come on. Yeah, tell on.
And funny thing, they kept using this thee and thou terminology. Well, this takes the thees and the thous out and makes it understandable. I thought, man, that's a great thing. They want to make the Bible understandable to everybody. Until we throw a word like rivulet in there, and we say, rivulet. Y'all ain't never been to the rivulet before? You know what a rivulet is? It's a creek.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. That ain't modern language at all, is it? Listen, you back row theologians back there, did y'all go swimming in the creek or the rivulet when y'all was growing up? Tell the truth.
Amen.
If Daddy would have called me up and say, son, we need to go to the rivulet today, back in them days, I'd have said, huh?
Uh-huh.
If he said rivulet now, I'd wonder where he heard it from. And he's 68 years old. Now, when we look at one that sat on the throne and he's sitting back watching all this, all of a sudden he says, I'm going to put this guy in office. Judgment. You know, Mr. I didn't inhale guy.
Yeah.
Promiscuous sex guy.
Yeah.
Then he's going to take another one born out of fornication and put him in office. He's going to take another one that's a drunk, put him in office. And then we're going to have Donald Trump. I don't know about you, but I like that thing where it says that the last Trump, the dead in Christ, will rise. I hope he's the last one, don't you? I'm just saying. I don't think that's true, but it would be really great if it worked out like that. And then I heard that woman had a baby, and I don't know which one it was. One of them had a baby. I thought, well, maybe that's the last Trump. Maybe we're going to go now. Right? But listen, at the throne of the Lord, the triumph of the one that sat up there is he's still running everything. We heard a Christian song on the way to church, and that song said something about at the last goodbye, there'll be a hello there when you get to heaven. And I got to thinking about that. And you know, while we're in heaven, if we get there before the rapture happens, you may worry about the people that's left behind. But you know what God's going to tell you? Take a look at this.
Yeah.
And he'll show you what he sees. Everything worked out.
Yep.
See, why is that? Because before you got there, Moses only showed up 3 days before you got there, according to God.
Yeah.
David, the Lord's 1,000 years. When did he die? When did Moses die? Oh, about, what, 4,000 years ago, you died in this century. So I put you about, what, 3 days ahead of Moses got there 3 days ago. Noah was there the day before that, and Adam was behind him.
Wow.
Now all of a sudden you're showing up. You think I'll be just, they've been up there all this time, is that another? And you're going to tap one of them on the shoulder, hey, how long you been here? And I believe the Apostle John's going to turn around and say, about 2 days now. A day with the Lord's 1,000 years. You mean while all this stuff's going on down here, they're not worried about in heaven? No, because of the triumph of the Lord, they know how it's going to work out.
Amen.
There's a book up there. It's just like this book. And up there, the blinders are taken off, and you see it for what it is.
Yeah. Amen.
Now watch this. If we've got the triumph of the Lord there, it would say that somewhere else in the Bible, that God's got all this under control, to tie in with that throne right there, because if there's a throne there's a king there, and he's over everything, right?
Right.
I look over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Here's the triumph of the Lord in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. God didn't put you here to die. He put you here to live.
Amen.
And when he says that everlasting life, when he come to save you, that was just the beginning of the trip, not the end.
Amen.
Now that you're on the beginning side of it, guess what happens now? You get to go on and be with the Lord. Everything's going to work out just like that.
Yep.
Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look over here. Romans chapter 8. He said, there's no condemnation. We pass in death into life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Here it is. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yeah.
What's changed? God saved the sinner, put his Spirit within them. Now they got a new direction they're walking. So where's the direction? Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And verse 17, it says there, and if children, then heirs. What are we heir to? Heaven.
Yes.
Amen. You and I, listen, you and I, we hear this crowd saying, well, there's predestined and election and all that. Well, which election and predestinating are you talking about? Because, you know, there's an elect nation, an elect church, an elect deal. There's all kind of elections in the Bible there.
Yeah.
But the main one you need to understand is this. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Let's see. Verse 29. Verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We're going to be in heaven. God's going to show you this verse after you see what's happening behind you. You're going to say, it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's as if it's already done. Because, see, you'll be removed out of time and be in heaven. You imagine going somewhere and don't have to have a watch no more. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Look at this. He said, to them that are called according to his purpose. You get to heaven, read that verse, and look back down and see the end of it and say, I get it now. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Well, see there, now that's what predestination, but watch what he predestinates. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So that predestination means if you get more like Christ instead of getting more worldly.
Yeah, amen.
There's a group of people out here now. They're called millennials. I mentioned Generation X a while ago to tie in with this. Back when I got saved, let me tell you, I got saved. I heard the preaching of the Word of God. God dealt with my heart, and when I tried to run from it, I couldn't outrun God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
God worked my circumstances out where I'd be sober somewhere one day.
Yeah.
Worked it out perfect in His timing, and guess what happened? Yeah. I'm sober. I'm under conviction. I got saved.
Amen. Praise God for that.
Generation X, you know, the bad crew. Now you got this bunch of cream puff millennials, and some of you are sitting here, bless your heart, you in that age group, and God bless you, you know. I hate to call you that. But I don't understand how we got from Generation X to the millennials and say, oh, we got to change the gospel message to reach them.
Come No.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
No.
They didn't say change the gospel message. They said change the music. Can I tell you something? This will help you for the rest of your life. Romans chapter 10, they never used music to reach you with. It was the Word of God the whole time.
Thank you, sir.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
That's right.
So what are you going to do with that bunch of cream puffs? I'll watch them get offended, I guess, when you preach to them.
Yeah.
This is the United States of the offended. There's your leading crowd right there. Well, guess what? They'll be all right.
Yeah. They'll be all right. Thank you, brother.
It's going to work out just like that. And God's going to show you back over here and say, you know what? I predestinated you, but I predestinated you to be conformed to the image of Christ, not the image of this world.
Yeah.
So who's that crowd? That's the other crowd.
Amen.
So you either saved or lost in this. This ain't a gray area here. And I notice he points all this stuff and brings it all together to tell us this. That one that sits on that throne over in Revelation chapter 4, guess where he's at? Still in the same place he was, doing the same thing he was, and going to be there for eternity thereafter, running everything.
Yes.
Let me show you how important this service is to you tonight. If you come in the doors tonight and you've been playing religion and lost, let me tell you something. God has spared you yet one more service.
Amen.
He's took time out of running the universe to deal with your heart tonight that you might get saved. Ain't that something? You're talking about God singling somebody out. There it is. If you've got problems in your life, guess what? God's been taking care of them the whole time.
Yeah.
He's been watching every bit of it. I like how the fact that sometimes we have things happen to us, and we look up and say, where are you at, God? But then a few weeks, few months, or a few years later, we look back and we see exactly where he's at.
Yes.
See, he's on that throne.
Yeah.
And he's taking care of the whole universe. His theology hadn't changed a bit.
Amen.
He hadn't changed with the times. He hadn't operated under the auspices of, I got to change if I'm going to reach this new crowd. No. He said, seek the old paths and walk therein.
Amen.
So what'll that do? It'll please him.
Yeah, that's right.
And as we look towards pleasing him, I want to say this. We got a pre-tribulation rapture coming up.
Yes. Amen.
Here soon. I believe it'll happen in our lifetime or something like that. But I wish it would have happened yesterday. If I go to bed tonight and it happens tonight, I'll hate I didn't sleep through it. But I'll be okay. I won't need rest anymore. Can God take care of all that?
Yes,
honey,
sir.
When you get up there and see that throne and see him, and he says, look at it through my eyes, what I'm seeing here. You're going to say, man, that thing, it's like a vapor just about, wasn't it, Lord?
Yeah.
I mean, my whole life was just a vapor. You took care of me the whole way.
Yeah.
Boy, ain't God good. Look here.
Yeah.
What about them I left behind, Lord? Oh, here come the. There they come in the door now. How long have we been here, Lord? A day. Here they come.
Here I am.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Imagine you're Adam and you're sitting in the Garden of Eden. You had one rule to follow. Your wife broke the rule and then God held you accountable for it.
Yeah.
Six days later, here comes the rest of the world. 6 days later, here they come. Listen right. Who are these people? They're Gentiles. A what? You just told me about a Jew a couple days ago, Lord.
Yeah.
Huh.
Amen.
You think things are moving fast here? Imagine what they're moving like up there.
Yeah.
You ever wonder why it feels like things are getting faster and faster and faster? It may be that he that says 1,000 years a day with the Lord is getting closer and closer and closer and closer, and he might be getting time to wind this whole thing up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.